right. First thing on the agenda, Tony Burkshaw is going to be here. Yes, I'm coming, Bob.
Wait.
Well, first thing on the agenda is volunteer for Parks and Recreation Department, Parks Gate. So we've been locking the park for the last 2 or 3 months, and our staff is getting ready to close the park for the season. But the park has typically been open for people that want to drive in, walk their dog. You know, the bathrooms are closed.
Use the running trail?
Yeah. I mean, you could still play tennis if you had your own tennis rackets and tennis balls and play basketball, whatever. And we'd like to continue that, but we don't necessarily want to pay for staff to open and close the gate every night. There's a gentleman that walks his dog in the park every single day. He lives across the street from the park. He's an ex-Navy chief and has offered to open the gate in the morning and close it at night. You know, Tony speaks highly of him, and Tony will be here later if you have any questions about this individual. But I thought that might be a nice option for us, a volunteer. She's opened and closed the gate.
What is the change of heart? I think last winter we left it open all winter long.
We did, but we had a couple picnic tables go missing, and then we had an odd occurrence. There was a young man who lost his life on a motorcycle on Tappan Street this year, and there was an impromptu memorial service that just kind of sprang up on that street. Beaverville police showed up and dispersed it because they were blocking traffic, and they were, you know, it wasn't a planned thing. So that group, and it was a large group. There must have been 30 or 40 vehicles, including motorcycles and pickup trucks, and they decided to come to our park after hours. The gate's wide open, so they came into the park, and I received some phone calls from concerned neighbors in Chaucer Circle that something was going on in the park. They were peeling out. You know, there's reports of possible fireworks. By the time I got the call from the resident, it had been 20 minutes after 911 had been called, and the police still hadn't showed up. So I made a 911 call and drove there, and by the time I got there, police were just showing up, and they were shooing the kids out of the park. If the gate had been up, that wouldn't have been an option for them, and certainly would have been much more difficult for someone to pick up a picnic table and take it from the park. We have a gate there. It should be used. The reason why it wasn't used in the past was because I think Pop Warner Football was playing there, and they practiced there well after closing hours for us. They've agreed since then to pay for someone to stay on board and lock that gate. And again, we've always wanted that park to, even though it's officially closed for the season, to be available for anybody that wants to walk or utilize the facilities that they can. So I think this is a good option for us. It doesn't expose the park to any greater risk than what we used to do, which was keep the gate open.
Yeah, sounds great. I mean, I think the only issue would be this guy's going to do it 7 days a week. So is, you know, what happens when he can't make it? I mean, is it arbitrary?
I'd leave that up to Tony. It's our best option right now because I don't want to pay anybody to come in and
right.
Yeah. So, you know.
Do you have a name or no?
Tony.
Let me also just bring up, I believe, our town highway department as part of their route swings in there and plows it.
Yeah, and then I'd watch when we were open the gate in the morning for the plow trucks to come through.
Because the plow truck driver can't get out and open a gate.
Can or won't?
Won't.
Okay, well, that's easily changed. I mean, that's...
He doesn't like to plow Beaver Lake, he's got to get out too.
The same guy, if the Beaver Lake gate is locked, he won't get out. He has a key. Won't get out of his truck and unlock it.
One of our guys?
What do you mean the Beaver Lake gate?
We plow East Mud Lake Road as part of the county contract. Right. Beaver Lake Main Drive is part of that route.
Oh, okay.
The county pays the town to plow.
Right.
Well, I think we'll leave that up to management to make that happen. I mean, that's I don't want to micromanage that department. So
I understand.
We'll just make it happen. That just like the gates on our in our facility are going to start being locked. So I mean, that's it. But I think it's a good option. We don't have to, I'd like to meet the gentleman and thank him. Mm-hmm. Thank him for his service first, and then thank him for stepping up and
helping us out.
Helping us out.
For sure.
Yeah, he works. He walks 2 miles a day in that park. Mm. And then the second one is the Kiwanis Turkey Day 50th anniversary race. I think they've submitted their paperwork.
Digitally.
And
what I heard.
So, obviously, this is the 50th anniversary of the race. Over the years, routes have changed a little bit. The current route for 5K leaves the school, goes up Oneida, goes up into Indian Springs, crosses over to Chaucer, right? Into Chaucer, crosses Smoky Hollow, up mm-hmm. through Candlewick, and then back into the school. But then they have a 10K that heads, starts at Oneida, heads east, makes a left on 60 Road, goes out to
Kellogg. Or do they make it there out and back now?
No, I think they do a Kellogg. And okay. then come back, Smoky Hollow.
Oh.
Smoky Hollow, and then cut in by the church, and then down and back into the school. That's their 10K. So they are using town roads, but all of the they give a pretty good description about security and who's helping out, who's doing what. I just ask you to review that. I'm in Kiwanis. Pete's in Kiwanis. I don't know what Pete's going to do, but I'll recuse myself from that approval and that permit.
So there's a permit application in?
Yes. Yep, Tony should have that.
Dude, is three people a quorum?
Yeah.
But yeah, if Roman comes here, I mean, are you going to vote?
Not if Roman is here. I would like not to, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I don't even think we need to vote.
Yeah, why do we have to vote?
We don't have to vote tonight. Do we vote on the other permit? Is it a motion to approve the permit?
Well, are they closing any roads? Are they technically closing?
No.
No.
So do you have
no, but they're pass? Utilizing the whole point. The whole point of the permitting process was use of town roads. But is 60 Road's not a town road?
No. Nope.
Kellogg is
it's
not.
A county road, I believe.
Is it? And Smoky Hollow.
It's a county road.
It's a county.
I mean, I don't perceive either of you to be personally benefiting from this action if you have to vote.
I know
what you're saying, but I think if Tony was here, he'd probably say what you're thinking is a conflict isn't. You have to go pretty far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, obviously, I will be promoting the event. I think it's a great local tradition.
Yeah, this is, the other thing is, this has been done way before you and Pete were even on.
Yeah.
This isn't like, oh, we started this, so we want the town road closed.
Yeah.
It's been going on. It's just another layer that was added to it.
And I thought the process was that applications would end up with Tony. He'd review them. And ultimately, there's the supervisor's signature on the permit.
Yeah.
It's not a resolution.
Okay.
It's just an okay.
Well, that's fine. If the board's comfortable with that, I just wanted that to be known, you know.
Okay. Well, yeah, but we ought to be consistent because 2 weeks ago we were going to vote on the Earth Day race.
And which I have an update.
Which put on the agenda.
I think we should vote. We should use it as a permit. I think we should vote on permits.
I'm fine with that.
But come to find out, they're not even using town roads in the race.
Well, what about the 5K?
So,
oh, the 5K does. Does it? It's in the village.
It is in the village.
Where does it go into the town?
I was going to say, does it go up Dexter?
It doesn't get as far as Dexter. It runs up Artillery and then goes off into...
A quick jaunt.
So does it just go off and then cut over across Brown and then back up to...
Does it cross 48?
Crosses 48.
Into Chaucer, which is in the village. And
so
then
does it even get into town roads? Because unless it gets all the way to Dexter Parkway, it doesn't get to town roads.
It definitely doesn't get out that way.
So no. I don't think it gets on town roads.
Yeah. Well, then all right. It's good to know anyways. Yeah, because even before when they had the 10-miler, the 10-miler went out to Lampson, and Lampson's not a...
Yeah, that's a county road.
It's a county road, too. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's good.
We don't need action tonight anyways.
Well, it's good to know we don't need action at all, but I would, the fear would be it's their 50th anniversary race, and if we didn't, you know...
They're very...
I mean, you're signing a special event permit that's not holding us liable for anything, money-wise, nothing. So,
yeah,
it's an agreement.
We're even actually going to be listed as an additional insured, which we probably don't need to anymore if we're not going to be on town roads.
But again, you know, they over a technicality, they wouldn't want to not run the 50th.
Right.
Is why they're going doing the due diligence.
Gotcha.
Because they don't want to have this amazing organization, you know, do this for 50 years.
And on the 50th year.
Sorry.
No.
You can't run this race, you know.
Yeah.
Because of this technicality.
So can we jump back and revisit Earth Day?
Sure. Because that concludes the work session items. Unless you guys want to, after we review your Earth Day app, hear what we did on the drainage districts as far as tweaking them.
Sure.
It'll take about 3 minutes.
And it's not a board action. I don't know if you want me to bring it. I took it upon myself to investigate food vendors for the big truck day. So I can bring you up. When Tony shows up, I can bring everybody up to speed.
Yeah.
So I think we got a solution to that.
Good.
Good. All right.
Okay, so the Earth Day folks submitted an application, and we determined it was incomplete. They have gone over and met with the director of Beaver Lake and cleared up some confusion. The director of Beaver Lake was under the impression that the Van Road and the access to the overlook was closed from 8 a.m. to noon. And they explained that when they start their run, there's a herd that runs down Van Road. Once they're cleared out and staggered out, cars can have access to Van Road. So there's a 30-minute no vehicles on Van Road is what it's boiled down to.
I can't believe it even takes 30 minutes. It takes someone 30 minutes to get from the start to the overlook.
Well, they got to mill around.
There are walkers. There are walkers. And Mike did not put on here, and I clarified with him, and he added it, that he is hiring four sheriffs to take care of busy intersections. Fenner and Lampson, Fenner and Church, Lampson and Plainville Road, and Plainville and Church. So he has sheriffs involved with county roads. He has met with the director of Beaver Lake and cleared up any mis...
He met with the director by proxy.
Yes, he sent his wife. He is...
Representatives from the organization.
He is wanting to open up his registration and wants to make sure everything's okay before he does that.
Yeah, I think that's fine. It's good. It goes to show you, I think, to Bob's point, that when you meet face to face,
details.
A lot of times you flesh out concerns that you didn't
absolutely
didn't didn't know about, so that's good.
So we'll put that on the agenda tonight?
We can, or you...
Why not?
Yeah, because...
We decide that's how we're going to handle these applications by resolution.
Yeah, that's, I'll tell you, that'll hold event organizers accountable in making sure that we get this information early enough to review.
Agreed.
So...
Yeah, I have no problem passing it. He did what I wanted him to do. And
so we want to authorize the supervisor to sign a special event license with the Earth Day Half Marathon and 5K?
Yep.
Which is closing Van Road for a period of time for the runners to clear. Or 8 to noon, technically.
Sign and approve. What's it called? Special event license?
Special event license. For the Earth Day Half Marathon and 5K.
For the 2019
Earth Day Half Marathon and 5K.
To be held, what's the date?
April 14th, 2019.
We don't need to say that Van Road will be closed because that's included in the permit. Yep. We don't need to go into the details in the permit.
Okay. Do you want the permit?
No, I've seen it. So, motion.
I'm assuming you should sign it and get him a copy.
I will.
So if you want it?
You hold it. And then give it to me by the end of the night.
Okay. So I texted Roman and I heard from him. He reminded us that he did tell us 2 weeks ago that he had his rehearsal dinner tonight. And then
tonight,
but he forgot about the budget meeting last night. But he has a whole paragraph here about raises, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
So did you speak on his behalf?
Did you speak correctly, accurately?
So funny. We want to take this opportunity, since we have an hour to kill, to talk about the protocol for town materials vis-a-vis the highway department.
Yeah.
And as well as a completely different subject, but it would apply to certainly the highway department, but purchase requisitions and purchase orders versus how we're doing business now. I think we need Dave in that conversation, though. But at least the first one, I'm wondering if you can give us an update on, did you have a conversation?
I did.
Because I think we really need to just make this black and white, which is, you don't do that.
Yeah, so this all came up yesterday. I received information from a person indicating that town personnel and town material was being used on private property, specifically the church on the corner of Doyle and 370. Which included our backhoe and a fair amount of stone. So the first thing I did was contact Steve Power, who is the union steward, to just get some background information. And he confirmed that yes, they were doing work on that corner in Doyle, and that between 1 and 2 yards of stone was left there and smoothed out. And then I called Jerry today to get some more information. I wanted to know if he was aware of it. And he said he was. He said he was there, actually, directing activities. And his explanation of the distribution of materials on private property was that they were using a truck, a single truck, I guess, to haul stone and take away spoils from the ditching effort. And so they dumped the stone in the church's parking lot and used that as a staging area. And at the end of the project, they had some stone left over, so rather than skim the parking lot and potentially damage it trying to get what little material was left back into the truck, they just spread it out because it was like material. So, you know, I did do an investigation, I did take video of it, so, you know, you can take a look at it. You know, we talked about the perception of impropriety, you know, having town resources on private property doing work. He acknowledged that we should not be doing that, but defended, you know, the actions of the crew by saying that, you know, in the end, what little material was left wasn't worth potentially damaging the church parking lot, so they just spread it out. You know, also mentioned gift of services, that could be perceived as a gift of services. And I think he was clear, or I was clear, that, you know, stuff like that, you know, we shouldn't be doing stuff like that in the future.
So what was his reaction?
You know, he agreed. So,
because, you know, I guess where I'm coming from is that government, by definition, has to be inefficient. You know, that sounds outrageous to make a statement like that, but it has to be. What he did, if you were the private sector, might make all eminent sense, right? But there's this perception of impropriety when it comes to government. So the best way to have done that job was to take two trucks and to make sure that you don't ever have to use private property as a staging area. Because, and we already have a policy that says you will not go on private property. We worked that out. That's in place. So that was a flagrant, that was flagrantly disregarded, that whole thing. Because if you're on private property, you're opening up a whole can of worms with liability, all those things. And you just can't ignore that stuff. That's why government is so ridiculously inefficient, but it has to be, we plod along to make sure we don't get ourselves in trouble, either by perception or by something going wrong. If we have to write all we talked about in our original policy was equipment. Now I guess we need to talk about gift of services and materials. That's to be precluded under all circumstances, except if there's town board acknowledgement that what we're going to be doing on XYZ date is so unusual and unique that we're going to allow. But then we become part of that solution. But you can't just unilaterally decide this is what we're going to do, because it looks bad and opens the town up for a liability claim.
Well, so in our conversation, he also acknowledged that, you know, in other instances, for example, in mowing, you know, when we're towards the end of the day and the tractor's way out in the western part of the town, rather than drive the tractor all the way back, we'll just park the tractor sometimes on private property and leave it there until the next day and then continue on.
County does that too.
Yeah, so a bit, you know, so that comes into play. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think we want to craft something if we're inclined, but not be so restrictive that efficiencies can't be
correct.
Can't be found, so.
And what about, while we're on this, what about culverts and driveway culverts?
He mentioned that. He mentioned that he's working on something. I don't know. He wasn't going to be prepared tonight. He was good. I think he was reaching out to the county. I was going to talk to Marty Voss to see if the county had anything related to driveway culverts and how they handle it, permitting. I think, I don't want to put words in his mouth. He is crafting something, so I'll give him an opportunity.
Okay, so he is working on
something. He is working on that.
That's good.
And then the last thing we talked about, you know, I use it as an opportunity for us to talk about some things that he brought up before, one of which was vehicles parked in the street in the wintertime and our inability to deal with that. And specifically, he mentioned towing. I think, you know, I remember Gene gave me a drive before I even took office, showing me concerns about snowbanks, plow jockeys plowing snow across our road, building up snowbanks so that it was hard for our guys to see. But then the other issue was cars parked in the street. So we talked about those two issues. So I, you know, Tony's not with us tonight. So I can get together with him and see if there's something that we can do to our code that would allow us the ability to tow a vehicle. Right now we warn, we put a little yellow tag on the windshield and say, you know, please do not, these are the months that you're not allowed to park on the road, and we get repeat offenders because there's no penalty. Like in the village of Baldwinsville, I've gotten tickets. I used to get warned. Now I don't get warned anymore because now I should know better. But, you know, it's a $20 ticket. You don't park in the road, in the winter. So we'll see if we can tighten up that part of the code. But other than that, no, it was a good conversation. I don't have, other than the video that I took, any real way to determine how much material was spread. I think it was a good enough explanation. I still don't think that we should have done it, but it was a good enough explanation anyways to let me know, to show me that, you know, it was nothing more than a project that they felt that was the most efficient way to deal with what was left. So it might not adhere exactly to what we want, but they made the call on the spot. And I didn't think that beyond that anything else should happen.
Would it make sense for you, Peter, and Bob, as part of the highway committee, to come up with some kind of policy?
Well, I'm not on it, but certainly Al, Pete, Bob, and Jerry could work something out for sure.
Because, you know, what just came to mind is I like what you said about, you know, we don't want to be stupid. We want to be efficient if we can be. So you're cleaning out ditches, right? Where do you put all that material? Some people want it. So it actually works for the town to allow the town to dump that waste material somewhere rather than having to, I don't know what we do when someone doesn't want it, but so there are some times when, it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but yeah, it's understandable. You're cleaning a ditch. What are you going to do with that stuff? And if someone says, can I have it, why not give it to them?
Is that the only thing that I would have a concern of, and again, I'm not, you know, the stuff that we haul out of ditches is not
good clean stuff.
Junk.
It's nasty.
Oh, yeah, there's tin cans.
Whatever came off the road is in the ditch, and that happens to be the temporary filter until you dredge it out and then you plop it somewhere. The only concern I would have is if somehow it was contaminated material and someone wanted it, wasn't aware of any contamination in it.
The oil.
That's a good point. So we,
because I mean, I'll tell you what.
Those things need to. This is good stuff for
the worst. The worst thing I ever saw was on, what's the road just the next road down from Emmerich?
Dunham
Road, County Road. Mm-hmm. What's the next county road?
East Mud Lake.
Dunham's county
here. Yeah, Dunham. So Dunham, they were oiling and stoning Dunham Road just before a cloudburst. So all that fresh oil was on the road. Cloudburst came and washed all that oil down into a guy's, into his ditch, into his yard. It was nasty. But so that happens. And where does that water go? If it's not going into a yard, it's going into a ditch. We show up, we're ditching stuff. Hey, I'll take some of that.
Can we delegate the discussion of driveway culverts, gift of services and materials, and ditch cleanup material to the highway committee to come up with a policy?
Yeah.
That's great. That way people with different perspectives can chime in, and then hopefully by over the course of the winter we'll come up with something that we're clear. You know, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, you might want to prioritize vehicles parked in the road.
Yep.
And consider even, you know, I know we're talking about it, plow permits. Not a cost prohibitive thing for a company, but you know, we do it with waste removal companies. You know, we issue a permit, they're allowed to haul waste in the town. By coming up with a permitting system, the guys that plow will be given on that permit a list of things you can't do.
Right.
And if you violate your permit, then you can lose your ability to perform that service in the town. Because it is, especially in Radisson, there's a lot of plowing. All you need to do is drive through it after a snowstorm. That snow is not being plowed into people's yards. It's being plowed across the street into the snowbank across the way. So think about that. Those guys are out getting contracts right now. And there's lots of them. There's probably 100 guys out there.
Well, I have 5 items for this committee to work on: driveway culverts, gift of services and materials, cars parked in the street, ditch cleanup material, and plowing permit.
Yeah.
Got that, Bob? Chair?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
So, by January? I mean, I like putting dates on things.
No, I agree.
No, it's a good goal. It's a lot. It's a lot. Because there's a lot to each one of those.
February?
No. We should have something.
We should report by January and see how we're doing.
Okay, good.
And what I would also do, I just would recommend specifically when you're talking about permits, is reach out to HOAs across the town. Radisson, talk to Radisson, the RCA. Any other HOAs out there, so that they get input, because those residents are going to have concerns and are going to want to probably be a part of the process, and it'll give us an opportunity to explain to them why we're doing what we're doing.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Cool. Al, do you have the list of drainage districts? I don't think David's here.
And maybe we can go into executive session to talk about personnel, specifically salaries.
Yeah. All right, Tony, why don't you come on over and tell us about our master chief who wants to help us out.
Just a chief.
Just chief. Well, I don't know the difference.
Master
chief.
Yeah. So basically the gates are going to remain locked
after October 31st.
And in November, typically we have nice weather, and due to opening the park up for dogs and walkers and that we've seen more use of that. And I know that we're going to run into an issue with the gates being locked and people not being able to get into the park. So one of our neighbors volunteered his services to open the gates when he goes and walks every morning. And at night he'll come over and lock up the gates at night. He said he can't do it all the time, but days that he's willing to do it, he will do it for us. So I just wanted to put it out there at a work session, get your feedback on it, and see what you guys thought about it. I was telling the supervisor that he was a chief in the Navy, and he's retired. He is a neighbor. He looks out for our park all the time. He's kind of watches over it, and I know just talking to him more in this year than any, that you know, he walks the park every morning. He does 2 miles at the park, and then he goes and gets his coffee down at McDonald's every morning. So that's his routine. So this is something that he said that he would volunteer his services to do. I just want to get your feedback on it.
Now, what if he can't do it?
It just stays locked.
Stays locked. And they can still park it at the, we don't lock the soccer field. So no. People could still technically park at the soccer
technically,
field.
Technically, yep. And there's nothing that they're going to get into. The bathrooms will be winterized. The pavilions will be winterized. Basically, the only thing that would, they'd have more access to driving up in there and using the playground if it was open and available to them, and the walking trail. That's all they would have access to. And the basketball courts.
Tennis courts, pickleball.
No, that's all locked.
So that's all locked up.
Where can they park if it's, if the gate's locked?
If they have to, and if they want to, they can park down at the soccer field and walk in. But he was willing to open up the gates so that they could actually drive up into the park.
So my concern
in the end of the winter, you don't plow.
No, so in the wintertime, what I was talking to the supervisor about, that I'll probably end up giving the key to the night watchman, and that he would open the gates in the morning if he feels that plowing is necessary.
And why do we plow that?
For fire,
emergency services?
Yep. If there was ever a fire, that they could get in there and get to the buildings without dredging through snow.
You want to have access to your buildings.
Right.
So, Bob, the entrance to Willow Bay from Long Branch Road, there's no gate there. Have we ever had an issue?
Onondaga Lake Park does not have a gate.
Yeah, there's no gates at the southern end either.
Do they plow the park?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, do they close the park, or is it open for winter rec?
It's open 24/7.
I would like to go back to that, but.
So I guess what's going through my head, guys, is sounds great that this guy would do it, but so you're just a user of the park, and you came here yesterday and you used it, right? And then you come here today and the gate's locked. Like, what's going on?
Right.
It's like inconsistent. And I'm just wondering if we should just, you had that one incident with those people, but other than that, just take the chance and leave the park
open. All last year, we just let the gates open.
Correct. I would like to go back to that.
Yeah, well, we did have that.
How many picnic tables?
That was two.
Were they chained up, our picnic tables?
No,
up?
They were just in a bad location, and it was just kind of
too
our
easy.
Fault. Yeah, too easy. We made it way too easy.
Not our fault when somebody...
Well, it's not our fault.
Somebody
here.
Steals from you, and you're the victim. Not your fault.
And that's rare. That's something that has...
But do you see the irony that the park has a gate that we don't use?
Well,
take the gate off. If you don't want to use a gate, then take it off and stop monkeying around with it.
Well, if it breaks or something, but if it's still in working order and we leave it open, leave it open.
I don't know. I'd put a sign on it and say park at the Spence Field.
But that's only for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Once it snows, they don't plow Spence parking lot.
Right.
Yeah. Then you should be driving in there anyways, because you're not playing basketball.
No, if you want to walk, you want to go snowshoeing on the trail.
Walk your dog.
We've had more use of the walking dogs on the trail since we've opened it up, even in the wintertime.
Then why do we even bother closing it?
That's what he says. That's what he's asking.
Yeah.
No. So you're saying never close the park.
Wait.
So you, what I would get away from, if you don't want to, if you don't want to,
don't lock it.
Yeah, if you don't want to close the park, then don't make. I mean, at some point we have to winterize it, but don't say the park is closed.
We never say it's officially closed. We just say it's winterized.
There's no restrooms.
So
there's no restrooms, right? There's no
amenities.
Yeah,
right.
You never say the park's closed.
No, because we advertise snowshoeing, cross country skiing. We said, come visit us.
What are the restrooms in Onondaga Lake Park?
When do you
Willow Bay is winterized.
That's the only.
Is it something you could do in the morning and at night?
Locked up.
It's only Monday through Friday.
Well, look, we had three events. We had that impromptu, whatever that was. That was not even a memorial service. That was, I don't even know what that was. And then you got picnic tables stolen.
Okay, two different incidents with the picnic tables, or one time?
Was it one time?
One time.
It took both tables at once?
Well, it had have been.
We got no camera coverage.
And that's
it's you know, we got in the budget. No security. What was? Is it do we keep it in the budget?
Put it in the spray park.
Oh, it's in the spray park.
But Joe, that's also good public service.
Yeah.
Here's your park, it's open. You wanna walk your dog.
One of the big reasons for opening it up and keeping it open was that exact reason that somebody went to visit us one time and they realized the gates were locked on a beautiful sunny day, and we simply had to say, sorry, we have to close the park and lock the gates. And they went up one side and down the other for the fact that it was a rare occasion. It was 60, 70 degrees out in November and they couldn't have access to the playground with their grandchild. And it happened to be a board member at the time. I don't recall who, but.
Oh, I would. We're not voting, but my sense would be to keep it open and just see what happens in terms of picnic tables and impromptu get-togethers.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
I'm not too worried, Joe. I guess you know, and Bob, I'm not speaking for Bob, but we've been in the park business. I mean. Parks like Beaver Lake and the zoo closed because they've got an expensive visitor center and it's tucked in the back of the woods. But you know, all the other parks are open. Onondaga Lake Park is wide open 24/7, 365 days of the year, and you can do damage in that park if you wanted to, but nobody does. So
I don't care.
I'd leave it open.
I'm not gonna look, guys. There were thefts there. We have a gate. If you don't want to use the gate, I don't ever want to hear a complaint about a theft if we can't lock a gate.
Well, that's not fair, Joe.
Then we have to put resources to maintaining and monitoring a park. I really believe that. Just to have it this year, we lost two picnic tables and we had some disturbance in there. You guys didn't go to the disturbance. I did at 9 o'clock at night, and we ushered out 50 vehicles that were tearing up the park.
But we did what we were supposed to do. We called the police, and the police escorted them out.
Exactly. Right, but it wouldn't have even happened if the gate was in place. So
no,
look.
That's not true, because our night attendant is the one who called the police because they were coming in while he was still on the job. So if it wasn't for having a night attendant, then that statement would have been true.
Did he call the police?
He's the one that notified the police. Because they were coming in numbers, and then they started ripping up the driveway. So he's the one that called the police and had him escorted out.
All right. But when you have an unlocked gate and you don't have that guy there, who calls the police? Eventually a neighbor in Chaucer Circle that sees that there's a disturbance.
Our chief.
Well, I don't know. Why don't we just see what happens? You know, keep it open, and then, you know, if there are incidents, then we deal with them. And
right. If we have to revisit this, I'm open to revisiting.
Exactly.
I'm doing what I think the state would expect a municipality to do, and that's secure its facilities.
Well,
so if you guys want to, that's fine. We'll keep the gate open, and if something happens again.
So what you're saying is we give the volunteer a key and
no, because it's arbitrary, Peter. That's one day it's open, one day it's closed.
I would talk to him and say, hey, our plan is to leave it open. You see something suspicious or unusual?
Yeah, he could be our.
And he does. He would do that.
Yeah, that would be better than having him come over and unlock and lock the gate. Yeah.
He's the one that notified me when the entrance light was out. He's the one that notified me when.
Good.
Well, then you've got someone.
All right. So all right. But we will use the gate when we have personnel at the park. Because it's only an issue because we're not going to have personnel in the park 2 weeks from
in
now.
In the summertime, you do, right? When you leave the park at night, you lock it.
And I'm fine with that.
We do now?
You leave the park at night.
At dusk.
Oh, okay, fine. That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Fine. There you go. We'll get to use
people are probably less apt to steal picnic tables in the winter.
Well, they're going to be stored away anyways. We're in the process of doing that now, putting them in the pavilion, putting them away and winterizing.
Good. Okay. Good. Done.
Tony, while you're here, and I just wanted to bring everybody else up, you and I were chatting over email in terms of the events, and so the big one is the big truck one, which is June 1st.
June 1st will be this year.
So having had experience in running events, I called one of the people that is that puts does food at events, Grazie Cesara. I don't know if you know that name, but he's got most of the food stands at the State Fair, for example. He does the Balloon Festival. You know him, right? He's a good guy, and he's just, he's as honest as the day is long. So I told him about the event, and I said, Grazie, it's probably somewhere between 2,500, 3,000 people. It's not, you know, it's not a million people that you're going to see. He says, oh, that'd be perfect, you know. So he can come in. He's totally self-contained. He's got every kind of food you can imagine. And what we said hypothetically over the phone was nothing big here, you know, maybe a hot dog stand, maybe some soda, maybe some lemonade, maybe some ice cream. He can do it all. You don't have to go knocking on different doors.
That's awesome.
So, and at least initially he's recommending, because he's never done it before, and he doesn't want to spend money and have it rain out on him, we'll get a percentage of sales. Knowing him, I trust him on that. You just have to, you know, you take my word for it, because
we would end up doing that with a food truck if we went that route too.
So if you, the suggestion that he made was, I'll give you his name and phone number. You call him up. I would like to be a part of that meeting because I think I can help.
Absolutely.
So and we'll set something up, and you'll have whatever you want at this event.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
You don't have to go knocking on doors for every Tom, Dick, and Harry to sell popcorn and hot dogs and all that stuff.
That's great.
You know, I think he has generators. You know, you don't even need to give him power. If you don't have power out there, right?
No, I think what they did, some of the food trucks brought their own generators, and if they had to, we ran it off the building.
Yeah, so I think you'll find working with this guy, it's just, you don't have to worry.
Yeah, food trucks are funny individuals to, like you said, if you go to one food truck and then they have a bad experience, it spreads like wildfire through their little association, and they don't want to come and work with you again. And
and what's good about this guy is he's a pro. He'll have all the health department permits.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Right. And it's nice working with those guys because exactly that reason, that we don't have to get in ourselves.
And we, speaking of popcorn, we let out our popcorn machine to the, what's the event called?
The Friends of Beaver Lake, for the Enchanted Beaver Lake.
Enchanted Beaver Lake.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
we let them borrow our popcorn machine.
Cool. All right, so I'll email you that. I got it right here. I can give it to you, but I'll send it via email that way. And he said, don't call him. Right now, he's the one that's doing that haunted hayride thing at the State Fair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a big-time operator. So he says, don't call him now. Wait till after Halloween.
Oh, absolutely. I'll probably call him in 2019 when we get closer.
Well, no, I would call him sooner. I would do something in November.
Just to put it on his radar.
Just so he can lock it in.
Absolutely. Okay.
Right? Because it's, you know, we ought to just lock it in if we're comfortable.
No, I knew that it was taken care of. Yeah, and we've talked about it.
Okay.
Is it?
I mean,
did you review it?
I looked it over. You're not closing down any roads, and it doesn't really.
We're not even using.
We're not using town roads.
I don't know why
he wanted to submit. I think he just wanted to put it in there just to cover all his bases, so he didn't. Nothing was a roadblock.
That's exactly what it was.
It's in
we
the
didn't
town,
want.
And it's, you know, it's a good. It's an
event.
Well, yeah, it's a big event, and he didn't want any hiccups or any roadblocks to come, so he just filled it out.
Yep.
But
do you want to float a motion anyways to approve it?
I would.
Well, I had your name on it, that's why I made a copy for you.
Oh, that's my copy? Oh,
yeah.
Thanks. He said he put my name on it.
Yeah.
Well, if we float a motion, well, that's right, we're going to vote, right? I was just saying we recuse ourselves. But we don't need to tonight.
All right, then wait.
Yeah, we'll just wait. You don't load up my agenda. It's actually a light agenda for a change.
Good.
Anything else?
Late.
Joe, did you see Tony's response on my question on the Water District Map Planner reports this morning? I forwarded it on to you.
No, I think he kind of agreed with the fact that.
So do we want to table or remove B and E? We're just going to go forward. By the way, the advertisement for those two special districts was originally posted. It reads as it was going to be a unit charge. But the county tax mapping system shows it as an ad valorem charge.
Oh, so the county, did the county make a mistake?
That's my interpretation of it. If you read
that's never happened.
Public hearings for the special districts were posted, it reads as they were supposed to be unit charges.
That's fine. I'm totally fine with that.
So, I mean, I think we can remove those as long as, I mean, that from Tony's response, I think we can remove them.
Taking motions off.
Take, yeah, D and E.
So we have three motions? That's awesome.
Well, no, or four, because we added one.
We added one, right. We added the E.
It doesn't make any sense to have a water district that's, from a common sense standpoint, ad valorem. Because ad valorem would be for something that you can't quantify
right.
benefit as a unit, where in this instance, any house that has a
water,
water service lateral
yep.
has, the same has the same benefit, and when they pay for their water, if they use more water, they pay more for their water.
I'm fine with it. This solves so many problems. I mean, the village has really had a nightmare dealing with this. I mean, they bill... So the background on this is for the debt service in our districts. So the village handles our water billing now, and they were putting a fee on the bill. Well, some people obviously don't pay their water bills. The village doesn't have the ability to put that fee on someone's tax roll because, you know, the village's jurisdiction is within the village. So the fee really should go on a tax bill. That's how, if they're not paid, we submit it to the
county,
and they make us whole. The village doesn't have that same ability. So we'll be sending out a letter to all of the of our district users that deal with the village, indicating that next year, or the next tax
bill
in January, they're going to see the fee for their debt service appear on their tax bill. They're not going to see it on...
So their quarterly water bill will go down, and their tax bill will be the difference.
Which some people will appreciate because they like more items on their tax lines.
Nobody's writing taxes off
anymore. No one's writing taxes off anymore now that they upped the...
now that they cut the SALT deduction to $10,000, nobody's going to bother.
Yeah.
It's not.
So, but that's good news. That's good news for the town. It's good news for the village. Yeah, so that's fine. We'll take D and E off. And we added F.
Just the one?
Just the one.
That was an Earth Day.
Do you want to... Well, you can't go over the district changes. You know what? I've got them written down. I can go get my...
Yeah, there was only a couple that we went up with.
Yeah, we only adjusted a couple. Give me 1 second.
Did we ever buy that speed monitor thing?
We never bought it.
Because I've been seeing them.
I see one on the village on Ida Street.
Yeah, on Ida, and I saw one on 48 on Oswego Street.
Yeah, the village has two now. I think so, yeah. The village has two. Radisson has one. That guy on River Road has one. That's mounted on a telephone pole, which I'm not sure how he got a permission to mount it on a pole.
He did. Okay. He just did it.
Where is it?
On River Road.
River Road.
Yeah, between Hicks Road and 370.
Okay.
Just before you get to Doyle, the intersection of Doyle, right? Yeah, it's just, if you're heading west, it's just before the intersection of Doyle. Or just after the, it's right around the Doyle road intersection. Actually, it's on the corner of Doyle. I think. Right? He's on the corner. The guy with the speed thing on River Road, he's on the corner of Doyle, right?
Corner of Doyle.
Yeah, corner of Royal Doyle is just west of Doyle.
The guy that owns industrial tire surface. All the big boulders, the boulder walls.
Yeah. I think he's got a fancy mailbox as well. Big brick monstrosity.
Not knocking that one over with snow.
No, you're not knocking it over with snow, but if you hit it with a snowplow, boy, it would, it would do some damage.
I thought that was illegal to do.
Yeah.
you can build a structure like that in our right of way. I didn't think so.
But we have them all over town, including the former town councilman has one of those.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't even think they make U.S. postal standards when they're built that way.
Okay, so I'm just going to rip down through these. Radisson Drainage District's got a fund balance of $50,000. We generate about $60,000 a year. We do approximately $30,000 worth of work.
Well, we've got a big maintenance program going now to clear the swales. I mean, we've got miles of swales in Radisson that have not been touched in decades. We're trying to get those clear, get the understory. I mean, it's all brush, sumacs, poplars. They're all this big. They're damming things up. Water's going into people's backyards. We're clearing them all out, and then once they're all cleared, we're going to go into a maintenance, an annual maintenance mowing program with the walk behind brush hog that Tony bought for the park and a park staff. But the clearing part of it is, I'm estimating it's going to take 4 years to get them all done, and we're spending about $30,000 a year, plus all the other Radisson drainage maintenance projects that come up every year. So we're realistically spending $50,000 a year approximately in that district.
So we're proposing making an adjustment of $5 a year up per unit in that district to deal with maintenance issues.
And it's aging, so we know we have some pipes that are at the end of their useful life.
Dutchman, any questions?
Well, are we going to get copies of that? I mean, I hate to
have when David, he's got copies of this.
Yeah, Dave will put it all in the do an updated budget binder for you.
Yep. I'm just letting you know what we talked about. Dutchman Park, we generate $430 a year. How many units are in that mega structure?
Dutchman's got 11.
11. So there's $5,200 in that account. We're, no adjustments there. River Mist, no adjustments. There's $7,300 there. We have $260 a year generated in that district. Pompo Woods is a new one for us. There's two units in that, and we're proposing that each unit pays $20. So there's zero fund balance in there, and after this year, there'll be $40 for maintenance and drainage.
And once they file the final plat, there'll be three or two more lots, so it'll go to four.
So they'll double. I'm
sorry. Yeah, but that won't come on show until the 2020 tax bill.
No. Emmerich Heights, we generate $280 a year in that district. There's $2,900 in there now. It's currently sufficient to take care of maintenance needs. Fairways North, there's $24,000 in that district.
We spent some money there that has not shown up. We had to fix a pond berm that blew out, and we did some clearing, and there's still some more clearing to do there. So.
Yep, we generate $3,512 a year. We're not proposing a change there. Giddings Crest, we generate $2,680 a year. There's a $10,000 fund balance. We charge $30 a year for maintenance. We're proposing keeping that the same. Any project?
Yeah,
there?
I mean, we've got mowing that we do annually there. I've got one outfall pipe there that's either we got a slip line or replace as well.
Chatham Woods, we generate $1,230 a year. There's a balance of $7,200 in that account. People pay $30 a year, and we're suggesting that that stays the same. Any projects there?
Yeah, we've got approximately 1,100 feet of swale to clear. It hasn't been in a long time, and about 350 of that is pretty silted in and needs to be ditched next year.
Okay. But $30 is sufficient.
Yeah, well, that'll, provided we can get highway staff to do the ditching, we should be okay.
Okay. Clinton Heights, that generates $16,170 a year. There's a current balance in the account of $17,000. We're not proposing any change upward there.
We do have some big expenses coming up on that one next year, though.
Yeah.
Got about 250 feet of 36-inch pipe that is got some kind of calcium sulfate.
I've never seen anything like it. I went there with Al.
It's hard as concrete, but it's. I got a sample of it in my car if anybody wants to see it. But it looks like it almost. You ever see like limestone bedrock out of Florida? it almost looks like that porous limestone, and it's two-thirds up all the way up the pipe on the inside. Any place where there's a pipe joint or where water slows down, it's just layers and layers of this stuff, and it's
not only is it in the pipes.
I was beating on it with a 3-pound hammer and a shovel to get a piece of it off to send a sample to the lab to see if we can figure out what's causing it.
Yeah, we think that it's extremely hard water with a pH issue that's and precipitating out hardness.
Potentially some sulfides from a spring, because there's always that water runs all the time, 24/7, 365. Even in the driest of summers, it's picking up a spring someplace that's probably got some iron sulfide in it, which may be reacting with our salt that we put on the roads, which is causing the calcium to fall out of the salt.
It's actually pretty cool. Like, after the outfall, you can follow the stream, and every 20 or 30 feet...
Any place
feet,
where there's any kind of obstruction,
there's
water
a dam
slows
of this
down.
Stuff, which, I've never... Strangest thing I ever saw. Wow.
Yeah.
Emerald Cove, we generate $380 a year. There's $4,000 in that account. We're not anticipating making an adjustment there. Any projects for Emerald Cove? Mm-hmm. Whispering Oaks, we generate $1,425 a year. There's a balance of $3,700. They pay $30 a year. We're not anticipating bumping that up at all. Springbrook, we generate $550 a year. There's a balance of $8,300. Those folks pay $25 a year. We're not suggesting that there's a modification to that. Amelia Park, we generate $2,550 a year. There's a balance of $15,000 in that account. People there pay $60 a year for drainage, and we're not proposing that that go up at all.
Some pretty good projects coming up in that district next year, though.
The Landings, we generate $3,010 a year. There's $9,600 in that account.
No, we got a pretty big clearing project on that one that has been kind of brewing for a few years, but we're getting to the point where we have the budget to do it. Unfortunately, there's some really large trees in the middle of the swale that are going to have to come down that are going to eat a lot of that money up.
Mm-hmm. But then, you know, within a year or two, that account will be replenished, and we'll be able to...
Yeah.
Hit it and maintain it. Collington Point, they generate $1,960 a year. There's $9,000 in the account. They pay approximately $20 a year. We're not suggesting we make an adjustment there. Cranes Watch generates $2,340 a year. There's $19,000 in that account. We're not suggesting that we make an adjustment there. Any work to be done in Cranes Watch?
No, that's one we could consider merging because it's contiguous to Seneca Estates. In the next year, that's something we should really look at.
Yeah, there's no debt service in either one.
There's no debt service in it, and Seneca Estate has a big need of one large project. We got a 48-inch pipe that's failed once, and we patched it together a few years back.
Are they paying the same amount?
Yeah, they're both paying the same amount. I haven't walked... It's been 3 years since I walked down that 48-inch pipe. The last time I walked down it, it was, geez, toasty. The bottom of it's gone, and the top of it's not far behind. Unfortunately, it's one that's...
It's a big one.
It's a big one, and the easement is within 10 feet of a home foundation.
So who's going to remember to get us to think about merging those two districts?
Oh, well. I can maybe put a note on my... Outlook and have Tony figure out how to. I don't even know what the process is to do that. I think you got to do a local law.
Yeah, it's a local law. There can't be debt. They are contiguous and they share an HOA, so yeah. I don't think it's going to be. We'll have to hold a public hearing, I think.
Any local law, yeah.
I don't think it's going
to
be.
That's an easy one to push through, or should be.
Brickwalk Circle, we generate $525 a year. There's a balance of $2,300 in that account. We are proposing to make an adjustment of $5 additional a year there. I don't have the number that they pay currently. I think it's, if I remember correct, it was like 20,
25,
25 bucks.
Yeah, I think we're bumping it to 30. But it's, so there's a pond back there that just hasn't been maintained around it. I'm gonna have the clearing crew maintain around it. It's just clogged up with sumac and willows. And then from there, again, another one that we'll start mowing around annually with our brush hog.
Any questions? Nope. Orchard Estates, there we generate $600 a year. There's a balance of $2,200. They pay $30 a year, and we're not proposing to change that. Whitetail Woods, we generate $1,080 a year in that district. There's a balance of $5,200 in that account. We're not proposing to change that rate. Timber Banks generates $2,930 a year. There's a balance of $21,000. I don't have the current rate that they pay, but we're not suggesting that we change that.
$20. We don't have a lot of maintenance responsibility in that one because stormwater ponds are maintained by the golf course.
Seneca Estates generates $7,920 a year. There's a balance of $37,000 in that account. Those folks pay $90 a year, and we're not recommending that go up. That's the
48-inch pipe.
The 48-inch pipe that we talked about. Camara Way, we generate $280 a year. There's a balance of $440 in that account. Those folks pay $35 a year towards their drainage district fees. We are recommending a $5 bump to $40 because of...
We've got some trees and stuff and swales that we need to address.
So once we...
Where's that at?
Right across the street from Clinton Heights. It's a little cul-de-sac there. I think it's got 11 houses on it, 9 or 11 houses on it. It's pretty small.
And once we do some work in there,
that's another one that potentially you could look at merging with Clinton Heights, because that would technically be contiguous. I don't think public right-of-ways are enough to separate it. I mean, it's another one with one of these districts with 9 or 10 units in it that, I don't know.
That one has the Alberici's.
Backs up,
There's not enough room.
Yes.
To get through there to do a proper cleaning job.
Yeah, it's all handwork.
All going to have to be done by hand.
It's all handwork. It really is. It's a.
So why don't we merge it with Alberici's side?
Could go that way. It could go either way. Yeah, you could go. That one could go.
What's
Clinton
Alberici's?
Heights or to Talamore. Talamore is part of Collington Point. That's included in the Collington Point district. So we could merge that one to Collington Point, because it does flow into that. That one might make more sense than send it to Clinton Heights.
Okay. A couple more. Springwoods, we generate $270 a year. There's $495 in that account. It's brand new, pretty much. So, and what do they pay, 20?
Yeah, so 20 or 25. Yeah, but I don't think we're changing that.
No change there.
I think there's only one lot left there. Once that lot is sold, I'm sure the developer will stop. Right now, the developer's been mowing around the stormwater pond, and we'll have to pick that up. So,
okay. Last one to talk about is Highland Meadows. We generate $1,320 a year there. The fund balance, or the balance available, is $2,600, and we're not suggesting that a change be made there. And that's the last drainage district that we talked about.
Correct.
So, like that one, for example, there's 2,000, and we must have spent money, or is it a brand new development?
It's a brand new development. And that's another one that the developer has still been mowing around the stormwater ponds, still trying to sell lots. But once the way these projects go, once lots are sold and there's no more houses to construct, the developer says, see you later, and then we take over. It's nice to have a little bit of fund balance built up before that happens, so that you don't have to start out with a big charge for that first year.
Yep.
Ramp it up slowly. That's what we're doing now. In the past, it's always been, we'll charge them nothing and just keep the line on them on their tax bill, and then when we need to spend money, we'll spend money. But
I don't know how you keep track of them all.
All right. Thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
Do you want to do an executive session?
We can call an executive session. Can I get a motion to go into the executive session to talk about
salaries and personnel?
Salaries and personnel at 6:45.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried.
Oh.
Yeah, one of them came from up there.
Cool.
I think
so. I think so. Do you think you?